What's up, After Buzzers, and welcome to The Expanse. Today we're talking about Episode 6, Paradigm Shift. Technology changes everything. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, guys? And no, we don't really have a guest, but we do. We have a new panelist on our team. Yay! My name is Carrie Lane. You guys can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. We're talking about episode 6 today, Paradigm Shift. And we'll go around the table and welcome to our new panelist.
Hey, guys. I'm Rick Hong, and you can find me at R-A-C-K-H-O-N-G on all social media. And thank you, ladies, for having me.
Of course.
We're excited to have you.
And I'm Maria Cavazzuto, and you can find me at that on Twitter and Instagram.
Yay! So, initial first thoughts, Rick, since you haven't been here before, let's hear what you thought of this episode. And the show in general, because you haven't been part of our discussion yet.
Right. it just keeps building.
Right.
Like, you know, like, I almost was a little jealous that I couldn't be here last week, because I was like, oh, but then I'm like, no, I actually get to see the aftermath, and so then I'm watching, and I'm like, oh, I'm kind of depressed. but then it ends again on, like, another high note.
Yeah.
So, I'm excited.
Sweet. Did you have any initial thoughts, Maria?
I mean, I just love the show more and more every time that I watch it. And, I mean, I was very upset, obviously, with the loss of Miller. Like, I felt personally scarred and offended. However, I'm just excited to see where it goes. That's just how I feel when I'm watching it.
Right? This show definitely gives you all kinds of emotions.
Yeah.
All over the place. And, what did you guys think of the flashback, essentially, to learn about the Epstein drive? I thought it was awesome. I was like, that's cool. Let's explain how they can do their interstellar traveling.
I'll be honest. I was a little lost. I was like, how is this guy kind of playing effect in this story? And I kept thinking they'll kind of wrap it up towards the end. And then I was like, dude, why was he in this episode necessarily? But it's also because of how last episode ended and where this episode was building. So I think those were more the scenes that I was invested in.
Okay. Yeah,
I have to agree with Rick. I mean, I was at first a little bit lost, but I did watch the episode twice. So on second round, that's when everything kind of cleared up for me. And then, silly of myself, I was like, is the Epstein drive a real thing? So I like looked it up on Google. And
it
could be, but it's an Expanse thing, unfortunately.
Solomon Epstein hasn't been born yet, so it's in the future.
Right, exactly. So possibly.
The idea, that's why it hasn't...
I'm sorry, see, this is how lost I am. I'm looking at Carrie like, with like a completely blank face. It's completely washing over me.
If you go to Wikipedia and you know, what, 3000, whatever the date should be,
you're like,
he'll be there.
He's there.
I think it might have been when we had... a previous guest, and they had mentioned that we'll be having meet this character and learn about the drive. So maybe I had that in my mind of like, oh yeah, this is where we get to find out how they can do their space travel and how taxing it is on your body, because they've showed us that before, and now this was a neat like, where did that come from? And yes, he had the awesome line of technology changes everything, which is 100% real in real life too.
Yeah,
I like the whole how basically Siri didn't work. It's in Chinese. I have to just do it
disable
manually.
That, yeah. It's like, nope, not so much. Yeah. And then when we got back down to Earth, we have the UN, and they're trying to figure out why Eros moved and everything. They have no idea.
No, they're so lost. It actually, it gives me like so much anxiety for them because they have no idea what's going on.
Right? And nobody's telling them anything.
No.
Would you guys be like Holden and feel everybody needs to know everything? Or do you think it should be a little more restricted access of information?
My only fear, I completely support Holden's point of view and that kind of strategy. My fear would be the reaction of people. And, you know, the same way that everybody wanted to evacuate Earth when, like, Eros was coming straight at it, I feel like it would be kind of that type of level, only worse. And then there'd be all sorts of, like, pointing fingers, like, containment, this and that, what is it, where is it? It would just be a complete mess. So I'm kind of maybe not on Holden's boat for, like, the only time ever.
I mean, I'm about disclosing information as best I can, but the problem is exactly is that everybody has different agendas.
Yep.
And they also, people freak out in their own different ways, and so sometimes maybe it's just maybe it's better just to contain the information as well.
Because previously, when Holden's given out information, it's been a mixed bag of results.
Yes,
so that's true. You know, he means well. We get a quick new character, Dr. Itaburi, and I kind of was like, who is this character? I do not recall him from the books, but I'm not done with him yet, so I don't know if he comes up later. But he's like, I want to go to Venus and check out what's going on. Are you guys suspicious, or do you trust him?
Well, let me tell you something. Obviously, you must have heard this, but Christian of Asarala says something that, like, this is not a date.
Yeah.
Their later bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I do think that, because that's when they have the conversation about him going to Venus. There's definitely some history there, and, just saying. Yes, I just wanted to bring that up.
Yeah, that was, like, how she opened up that conversation, exactly, that I took away from that. I'm like, oh, okay, they were old something.
But she's, you know, it's funny, I feel like she's gathering...
I would say not even that old. Your husband's not on this planet, so,
But aren't you?
I know, right? I was like,
no.
But she kind of was like, whoa, so I think
they had something, yeah.
While she's still with her man, but you know, it was.
You know what they say.
It's not even same zip code. That's what I was saying.
Exactly. It's not same zip code. It's different planets. So you know, hey, you know, why not?
One thing that that I really like about Vasarala, I almost feel like she's gathering her own army of people because she's got eyes and ears. You know, she has that other guy. I can't remember his name right now, but her like henchman dude.
Yep.
And now this guy is going to be kind of
Yeah.
And now Iturbe is going to be the eyes and ears possibly on Venus.
Well, because he offers, he's like, I'll be your spy. And then they have the discussion about now we finally have their realization that it could be aliens. And then her wonderful little line paraphrasing, like,
love it.
If it's Mars, I got 900 pages of that. If it's aliens, I got 3, and it starts with pray to God. Like, find your God.
The alien connotation, it's always, like, a negative connotation, but I'm hoping that it won't be. I'm hoping that it'll be, like, a good thing whenever this happens.
Yeah.
Her character did a really... she did a really good turn this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's so fantastic.
She turned it up, but, I guess I could get to that one a little bit later.
Yeah. Someone brought up in the chat, Dennis. I think he's asking in the chat room. Oh, yeah. If you guys are watching this live, feel free to chat with us. We love hearing your opinions on the show. And if you are watching this later, feel free to comment down below. There we go. We kind of talked about this, Maria and I, in a previous episode. Are you an Earther, Martian, or Belter?
Oh,
or at least who you're rooting for?
You know... I was thinking, because the problem is that...
Because like Johnson, you got to pick a side.
No, the problem is that they bring in some awesome characters. You know, I want to sit there and say, okay, I'm an Earther because we live on the planet Earth. But then they bring in like some badass characters like Bobby,
who's,
from Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Alex,
you've got,
too.
Yeah, and then you've got the one guy who's like campaigning on behalf of Miller.
Yep, Diogo.
Diogo. So, like, I mean, I really like him. I think he's funny. So I'm kind of conflicted because it's kind of like which way the stories kind of keep going. You know, it's hard for me to, like, actually take an allegiance to one area.
True.
It's easy to see all sides, too.
Yes.
So you kind of just wish that Holden's kind of, you know, utopian vision was something that was reality.
Because when I initially first started watching the show, I was like, screw the Martians. I was like, screw the Belters. Hey, dude, I'm from Earth, you know? But now I'm like, oh, no. I was like, I get it.
Yeah. I still think I'm kind of Belter, if only for rooting for the underdogs. Though, I'm not thrilled with Naomi's actions, but we'll get to that.
Dude,
just saying.
Let me tell you that I almost missed that. That's why I watched the episode twice, because I was like, I don't feel like I really got everything from this first shot. Dude, I almost missed what we will talk about.
Right? Yes.
Because it was so subtle.
Oh, okay. Pamela says, this new scientist is like Dresden, only with a proper moral compass.
You mean Solomon?
As in, like...
Iturbe, right?
Iturbe. Oh, the new guy?
I don't think we know enough yet, right?
I don't know enough about him. I'm suspicious.
Other than he wants to get to Venus for something, and why does he want to get there? I don't feel like I have enough information on him.
Totally. I mean, you know, anybody kind of siding with Vasarala, even in the slightest bit, does point in the right direction to me, but, you know, everybody can have hidden actions in their own agenda.
Mm-hmm. And many of the nukes have been recovered, but there are 30 that are missing.
Yep, they said, like, I think they said, what, 121 were...
Yes, accounted aborted. For. Yeah, 121 were accounted for. And then we jump over to the Rosinante, and we saw them get caught in the net. That was wonderfully suspicious. I love how they talked about it. And then they're like, and giant space net. And you're like, hmm.
Yeah.
Then we jump over to the Rosinante, and we have Naomi and Holden, all cute. But then they talk about the protomolecule, and he's like, dude, we need to destroy it. Yeah. Would you guys destroy it or keep it?
Destroy it.
Keep it out there.
Yeah, it's because you don't know what its effects are going to be. Mm-hmm. So just get rid of the whole thing. If you didn't really need it to begin with, then mm-hmm. get rid of it.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. I have a prediction later that has to do with that. But yeah, no, I would destroy it because I feel like, I mean, nobody saw what Miller saw. And right. I feel like if they had, maybe then they wouldn't feel like it needs to be destroyed. Like they could see some positivity there. I don't know.
Mm-mm. Why Wait, not? As in like it's cool? That your body's been parasitically taken over?
But we don't know what... We don't know if she had any power. We don't know... She had power. She moved arrows.
I guess.
Yeah, no, I'm... You know.
Okay.
With a little persuading from Miller. He kind of had to be like, hey,
it is a parasite. It's a symbiotic relationship. Yeah.
But nobody else would have been able to move it just with, like, your brain, and she did. So yeah. I feel like nobody else saw that, so nobody knows the kind of power that it has for good. Yeah. I'm, like, the only one who's enjoying
it. I think we should destroy it.
So we're gonna agree. Okay, so we all agree. That's
great. We're generally like, we should probably destroy it.
Yeah.
And then, they have this sweet little chat and, like, moment where you, like, shed a tear of, do you think Miller knew this was gonna be a one-way trip? When they're kind of, this is Naomi and Holden talking. Do you think he knew?
I think he hoped that it would be. Okay. I don't know if necessarily he knew, but I think that deep down in there, yeah, he probably hoped that it would be. I feel like he hoped that he would find Julie and he wouldn't have to come back. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I think it's crazy. One-way trip? No way. Forget it. Don't send me then. Don't send me if I think it's going to be a one-way trip.
No, but do you think Miller thought it was one-way?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. I was like, I think it's crazy.
Yeah, I was like,
he was just so obsessed.
I don't think he thought it, he would be okay with the results. He's like, yeah, I'm ready.
Because he pretty much thought that she died. He was obsessed with her, but he already thought that she was dead, so it's like, why would he think that he would reunite with her and not come back from this thing? And even in, what is it, this, like, he even said, he's just like, hey guys, is there a plan to come get me, I think, or was that, am I thinking wrong in a previous episode?
No, he kind of asked that in the last one, but I don't think he honestly meant it. Yeah. Like, he kind of knew. But then we get, which Dominique brought up last week, which big thanks to Dominique Tipper for being our guest last week. And if you didn't watch that episode, you should hurry up and go watch that. Because it was awesome, and it's great talking to her.
And she was amazing.
Because she's amazing.
And great voice.
Yes. And with Holden, she kind of talked about how we're going to kind of see a little bit more about that leadership issues. And he has a line talking about, like, I don't want to be the one who says who lives and who dies. Ugh, so much responsibility on his poor little shoulders.
He doesn't want to be Spider-Man.
Nice big shoulders, but, you know.
No, I was going to say.
I was going to say. I'm like, he's
this is so funny, because Carrie said it. I thought it. It's like she's talking about
Maria's over there, like, if you're listening, she's, like, staring off, like, yeah.
I know, I'm just like,
Steven, we're looking at you. And then some people in the chat asked last week too, and asked to Dominique, like, are we going to have any more funny moments? And then we get the hilarious little bit where they reveal they're dating, and Amos going, yeah, I'd do her if she'd let me. What'd you guys think of that scene of, like, yeah, we're dating?
It's funny because it's a very guy thing. You know, guys always have many, you know, different types of women. My friend had a great philosophy about how women and guys relate to each other, but it's always pretty much the fact that any guy will pretty much cross that line at any point. Even they'll sit there and say, like, oh yeah, there's my friend, or they're this or that, but given the opportunity, it's like, yeah, sure, you know, we'll do it. And it's more interesting was that up until this episode, I actually was hoping, because they've killed off a lot of different people.
True.
I was hoping, hey, you know what, I don't like that guy, he's just troubled, they need to kill Amos off. But after that, like, after this, that scene and what he said, I was like, I like him.
Okay.
You mean the I'd do her if she'd let me comment?
You liked it more? Okay, then. Okay.
I finally had the turn where I was like, you know what? I want to see him continue on.
Yeah.
I'm glad that as women, we have a little bit more, you know, of a judgment call there. Yes. We're like, no, thank you. You know. But I do think that, like, that it's very just in keeping with his character.
Yeah.
That too, yeah.
In the chat room...
Hold on. I thought it was weird that he's like, okay, we're together, sleeping together. And I was like, is that really how we're going to open this up? But,
Holden's,
you know, hey.
Not amazing on his communication
skills. No. Not in these
He's diplomatic situations. In different ways. Just not personal stuff. In the chat room, Stark said, like Holden said, they hope they have the last of the protomolecule. Do you think anyone else has the protomolecule out there?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know.
No, it's fine. Yes or no question.
I would say probably... somewhere, okay. Like, because what's his face is so devious, Mao, yep. Or he's so devious that I feel like it absolutely exists somewhere else.
And we're also, I mean, there's a whole other life entity that we don't know of yet, you know? I think that's where the answer lies.
I'm only going to, I'm going to put a pin in this thing that from the chat, because it's a really good point, I like to know that, but we'll talk about it when we get to that, but Dennis said, if you read Nemesis Game and Babylon Ashes, so I think those are the novellas, Naomi's actions in this episode make sense. It's kind of like muscle memory for her. Ooh, good to know. Because I was like, cool. It was a little bit out of left field, but we'll talk about it when we get there too. Rodrigo in the chat says, I would keep the sample to study it later. And Bruce Wing says, Amos is my favorite character now.
see?
A couple other people are going, and also, yeah, some people are like, it's not the end. All right. Then we have Alex and Holden, and they're talking about the nukes, and, like, they keep going, and then that we said the net. Anyway. Then they get over to Tycho, and they're the heroes of Eros.
Yeah.
Yay.
Celebrating.
Which is like, all right. And, yeah, we got our Belter, Diogo, and Miller, the memorial.
Yeah, like, he's like a martyr now. Yeah. He's like, exactly.
And he's so, like, cool, painted on the wall.
It's Mohawk.
It's sweet.
Yeah.
And then we have Johnson in the chat about the nukes, and he's like, yeah. I have them. And you're just like, were you guys surprised?
No, because they, no way, because they took command over all of the missiles, so it just made perfect sense when, I knew that they had them. I was like, well, duh. Didn't they take command of, like, all the missiles? Like, you know, it just makes perfect sense.
Yep.
Yeah, and there's just someone just disappear, right?
Li Fong says, those are books 5 and 6. Okay, I'm not there yet. I'm only on 2. and that's why I'm not doing predictions, in case anybody was wondering / hadn't seen previous episodes, but I'm like, it's kind of fun because I like don't want to get too far ahead, so I'm like, but they're combining it in a nice way.
I'm waiting for the cliff notes.
yeah, you're like, can I just get that? And then we have, yes, Holden wanting transparency. Oh yeah, and then they're like, yeah, we need some help removing the countermeasures. I don't think I would want to help him to get the nukes to be able to, you know, do what they want with them. I was like, Johnson.
Well, that's the question. It's like, what is it that you want to do with them? Mm-hmm. So,
right?
Maybe if we can have transparency, like Holden wants, we can all talk about what you plan to do with them.
Mm-hmm. And then we have the interesting little scene with Alex and Amos when we have the angry Belter, and Amos, quote unquote, helps him a little too much. What do you think of the violent outburst?
It's just, it's guys like guys being guys.
Okay.
Too much testosterone, one room, lots of periods of time, it's bound to explode.
But then later, though, what do you think when they finally have a chat about it and essentially a fight, and Alex is like, dude, I can fight my own battles. I don't like their tension. It was making me like,
it's
guys.
Weird. It's weirdly tense, but I can understand where Alex is coming from because, I mean, Amos is just like the dude that people kind of rely on for that physical stuff, and it's like, I don't need that from you, you know? And I feel like the whole point, in a previous episode where he was trying to simulate, like, saving that other pod, that's just like the same feeling, but coming out. It's like a subconscious thing. It's just been, like, repressed or something like that.
And, you know, and throughout the throughout the whole, they're kind of relationship, it's always kind of seems that Amos is kind of always bailing Alex out, or, you know, even was it
anybody
last season
out,
where they were like in the room where Paul Costanzo dies, and you know, he's just like, he's like, I'll carry you, you can't carry me, so why don't you take the little thing to tranquilize yourself, you know, so I think it's like, it's like a repression of like, dude, I'm a badass too, you're not the only guy.
But I also think that unfortunately it kind of like makes Alex feel useless if I can't punch some dude and kind of like, but, you know, show this, you know, well, do this or save these people, what good am I for? You start to doubt.
Well, he's also that dude on the ship. Yeah. Stay with the ship.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't get to go out.
I mean, realistically, yeah. So
Amos is the muscle who goes out, and even everybody else kind of does something. Maybe Naomi stays, too, for tech, but... You know. Yeah.
But I think that's also his strength, is that he's the guy that flies the ship.
It is.
You know? But at some point, I feel like you might want or need more.
Yeah. Referring to Johnson, I think it's Light Irish Keg. I'm not sure. I'm sorry if I'm not able to read it. But Johnson in the chat room said, Johnson needed an ace to put back in his hand after getting left with little else after sending the Naboo on its ramming mission.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Pamela in the chat says protecting the less physical is a reflex for Amos. That's true. I liked Amos's explanation, though. It's like those you fight, those you kind of leave alone, and those you protect.
Yeah, but it's very like primal. Yeah. It's very basic in the sense of how he justified
that. He's like that. Then we have speaking of Johnson, we have Johnson and Holden, and they're like, dude, where do we stand? And we learn that Johnson's poking around in their navigation logs.
Johnson.
Red flag, red flag, red flag.
That is sneaky as, you know.
Yes.
Sneaky
as. They swear on the show, go for it.
Sneaky as.
Just like the show.
Yeah, right, right.
Sneaky, sneaky, sneaky.
I absolutely love every time I'm listening. So I'm doing it as a book on tape in my car because I drive a whole lot. And every time Avasarala says the F-bomb, it makes me happy. Yeah. Every time.
She swears.
And the
like,
person does kind of an accent for the characters pretty well and does it not quite as far as how she talks on the show.
She has a unique voice,
She has
too.
A very unique voice. They do a good job, though.
We
so
love
like,
her.
Oh, I love
obviously.
It.
We love her. There's another scene. But some of her wardrobe, I think it was in this episode, she has like, kind of some sort of shawl, but then it's like jeweled underneath.
It was sexy shoulders.
And I'm like, hey, that's new.
I missed it.
Well, because it wasn't like a wrap per se. It was kind of almost Star Wars-y. Like,
yes.
It had like
that's so what I thought.
Amidala-esque?
Yes, thank you. I'm like, okay.
It very felt like that, yeah.
Because the back part came forward, but there was like height to it, so the shoulders were bare, and then she had the gems.
Was it because she was really going to go meet that dude?
She already had it at the UN unless she knew he was showing up. She looked good.
I think he was... Yeah.
I'm always just busy listening to her voice because she's got such a good voice. Great.
She really does, yeah.
And then we have the scientist, real quick. He was just listening to the quote-unquote Eros music and Johnson's trying to like learn from him, which is creepy to keep that guy around.
He's sneaking around.
Then we have Johnson and Naomi real quick and they have like the, okay, we need to let people know about Miller and Julie, which they kind of do because later we see Aaron Wright's tablet thing and it says their little story, which I was like, that's a good idea and like it is informative. Weird question though. With their kind of see-through phones, essentially, can people on the other side see who just called you? Because when Naomi gets a call in front of Johnson and kind of is like, I gotta take this outside. I was like, wait, can he see who called you? Because it felt like invasion of privacy.
That's a great question.
No, I feel like it's like showers. You know, like or like the shower doors that have
you can't see well enough through? Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
I like that way to think of it, because I wondered, I'm like, that'd be so awkward.
Otherwise, it's like...
No, I mean, they've even created now, and I don't know how well they work, because I don't use it, but like skins to where, like, if you're on an airplane, you're watching something, you can see it, but the person next to you can't see what you're watching or anything. I don't know how well it works, but...
Yeah. Because they had it with Aaron Wright, with Johnson and Naomi, where if someone came close, they both, like, swipe... Close what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Somebody's standing there.
But I mean, that's just like...
No, I know.
When you have someone walk in, you close your phone. You know.
No, just wonderfully suspicious for all of them. Then we had the Rocinante when they were talking a little bit more about the sample, and Alex is like, we need to give it to Mars. Amos and Holden are like, let's destroy it, and Naomi's not sure. Tension amongst the crew. I was like,
rock,
nope.
Paper, scissors.
Right? I think potentially, let's say if you don't destroy it, giving it to the Martians is probably the best bet.
To level the playing field, essentially?
Well, I meant for research. Like...
Well, Mars could come back and destroy Earth with it.
Because the problem
and that would be... No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I'm like,
are you a Martian?
Great. Oh, I think I said that last time. Okay. I might be. I don't know.
I don't know. Bobby's making me like the Martian side,
too. Yeah, they're tough. Yep. I want to be tough.
But you can be a transplant, though. They might ridicule you for a bit, too. But, you know.
I'll make it work. The height won't work for
they're
me.
They're not all super tall, but they're...
You can put a suit on and make yourself tall.
Exactly.
Okay, good point.
So speaking of that, and now back to... thank you for the information from the chat room. We have the launching it and simulation ready, simulation active with Naomi. It was an effing simulation, Naomi. I don't trust you. What the F was that?
Oh, she is doing her own thing.
Oh.
That's the thing that I...
was about to say. I'm sorry, was I too loud?
No, just fixing your hair. Just fixing my hair. It's inside my ear. That's the thing that I almost missed. I hadn't seen the simulation bit that she clicked on it, and I was like, what? So she's got her own agenda.
Now I got to go back and watch it because I completely missed that.
It's really small. It's very if you guys missed it, it's a little hard to see. But she does the tablet screen. She's touching it. And there's a part where it says simulation ready and then says simulation active.
Yeah.
So it's still a simulation. So because she did the... You know, like when you were a kid and you're trying to finish something or do something before your parents came in as soon as they're standing, or you're doing something wrong on your computer and your parents walk by and you're like, Naomi totally had that when Holden walked up, like, yeah, no, I'm ready. No, I'm ready.
Mm-hmm. Yep, ready.
Yep.
And then also, I mean, then they show this little shot of it.
Oh.
I mean, he sees it go, and he's like, great, it's done. And I'm like, no.
Lying.
And then you just see it turn off, and it's just floating in space, and I'm like, that's not good. That's not good, because I feel like that is all sorts of wrong. It's just going to be an issue.
Yep.
And it's going to be an issue for them when he finds out.
Yes.
Because you know he's going to find out.
Okay, Stark says Naomi is a Belter, so she agrees with Johnson. I guess, you know, Belters stay together. And Li Fang says Belters don't waste anything. True.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And then Stark points out they've changed a lot from the books. Yes, this is true. There are some things which, unless it's super major, I've kind of refrained from mentioning it, because otherwise you're kind of like, eh, it's kind of like an alternate universe of how things go. But I'm going to talk about it in a minute when we get to Bobby. So we get to Ganymede, which is fun, because we're like, oh, a new place. And so we have Bobby and the team versus the UN. Now, just so you guys know, at the beginning on the book, they set that up like they were waiting around for a really long time and essentially like two opposing enemy forces with the line down the center of like, because you get to get in their head with the book, you know. And so Bobby's like, we had nicknames for them. And so she's like, I wonder what nicknames they have for us even. And I think it just set that up more. This felt like they just got there and they're kind of a little bit bored.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me how they have the line in like North Korea and South Korea.
Yeah.
Like the guards are like, they're always there, like on one side. South Korean guards are like on the other side, and they're just, so I'm sure, you start kind of thinking like, that's, you know, that's Dodo, that's Dumbass, and you start just kind of getting bored, and that makes sense.
They have that in another country too, and I want to say it's India and Pakistan border, I'm not sure, but that was in another film I saw where literally they have a, like, changing the guard ceremony and stuff every day that's like, it's almost arbitrary that there's a line, but, which, speaking of lines, real quick, we mentioned it earlier, but I wanted to reiterate, I like how Johnson says, you have to pick a side to survive, but Holden's, like, idealist of, we should get rid of all borders. Yeah. We're all friends.
Free Kumbaya, love, Holden. Free love.
He's like, that's
agree
nice.
You, but it's, I'm in between. I feel Johnson and Holden, I'm like, it'd be a great idea, but I don't think people can
do it. No, I mean, in theory, it's, like, wonderful, but realistically, it's not. Not gonna happen.
Yes. And then, sorry, I was losing the chat. Okay, so we have the blackout that's gonna happen. And so at first, and this is also as my reading comprehension from the books as well, I don't think she was talking to anybody up in the sky, so they're very isolated. But lo and behold, the people in the sky don't really survive, which was a bummer because I did like Sutton, and then he died. Had the nice shot through the chest, fell over. And they have the battle in the sky, which was wonderfully epic.
Yes, it was cool to see that. Oh, absolutely.
The special effects.
Yes, action,
yay.
Yeah.
I know. We really like the special effects here. Yes. So good.
So then they see the kind of transponder, like, drone thing flying over them. They're like, that's suspicious. Were you guys suspicious? I was.
Yeah, I thought it was a little weird.
It's like, who's watching you, right? And they're like, oh, it's nothing.
Big brother.
I was going to say, you chuckle there.
Mm-hmm. No, it's only because, like, I didn't really think much of it. I'm just like, oh, okay, as long as it's not armed. Okay, moving on. Like, I didn't really think much of it.
But since it's there, creepy. It's like
who's
what's
watching?
What is its purpose? Exactly. It's like, Big brother. It's like, why is it there? As opposed to, even if it's not armed, it's like, why is that there?
No, totally. I literally didn't even have that thought, though. And then, you know, that came to bite me in the butt, but, I mean.
Oh. Okay. So, I'm reading a thing in the chat, and someone is a little confused. I would really love to clarify, but I don't know if that gives something away. And if you guys give me your thoughts on this, so then that way I don't want to, like...
Okay.
So, Corey in the chat said, I was very floored when Bobby and her fellow Marines fellow Martian Congressional Republic Marines are ambushed by the UN Marines, and that strange humanoid being comes across the badly wounded Bobby. Who do you think hurt Bobby and her fellow Martian Marines?
I thought they got hit by the debris coming off of the attack.
I think it's a little bit of both. It was like, because they were arming themselves. I want to say like they had their little thing, and then I almost thought a little bit about that. Was it the debris coming down?
That's what I thought originally. Because originally, let me put it this way: like the previous episode in the previews for this one, mm-hmm. I literally thought it was explosion off of Venus mm-hmm. with proto molecule. So I was like, oh crap, what is going to go down?
Okay,
obviously that's not what happened. So I think it's the debris, but I also remember seeing the UN line firing.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, they're getting ready.
I don't think we actually know clearly okay. what's, you know.
And if I pronounce these wrong, sorry guys. Troika said, I'm pretty sure the UN Marines were firing on the husk things.
That's also true. I mean, they could have been firing right? and just, yep. they're just in that line of fire.
And did you ladies kind of see how cool their guns were? They weren't holding something. The thing was like
it's
attached.
In their, yes.
Yeah, that was like really, I was
never
like,
drop
ah!
it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
Totally random throwback, but I like it. Pamela in chat said, free love, Amos rents a room in a brothel.
Did
like
yeah, uh-huh.
But he had a previous thing in the last season that sounds like he grew up in a brothel.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, oh, good point. Jonathan in chat said, you can tell in this episode and some prior that Bobby has a strength about her, even though we haven't seen her in action much. This is very true. She's
dude,
just
if you can,
being cooler. Like her character,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah. Because I think yes. just being able to command, you know, obviously their little faction, I guess.
Ah.
And okay. even without the hearing, because they're obviously being yep. blocked, the communication, mm-hmm. but just going to helmet, I yep. felt that kind of strength there mm-hmm. too. She's very commanding, yep. which is great.
Okay, guys, for now, I'm glad you guys are talking about this chat. So I will include the panelists because then I'm like, I didn't want to get ahead of myself. Jack says, the question I have is, did the UN Marines come under attack from the alien first, or was it as it seemed? I think the UN and Martians were set up to attack each other.
Ooh, that's I'm on board with that one.
Yeah.
The Eltrishkeg said, the Earth and UN fleet initiated the attack in orbit, and that the unknown enemy shooting obviously had to be Martian experiments. The grunts on the ground don't know who or what attacking them. And so, yeah, feel free. Or
yeah.
Hold the thoughts of what you'd want to chime back on. Stark says, Marines were not shooting at the Martians, and those claw wounds were on the armor. Did you guys notice those were wounds on the armor? I did. That was a very good job on practical effects, people. Browswing said the UN Marines were firing backwards. And Rodrigo said the UN Marines fired, but not against the Martians. So,
Grant, we saw, like, different cuts of different things yes, to make us speculate.
It's so yes. interesting because it's so hard. I mean, for me, it's hard to see, like,
yeah,
literally what's going on there because there's a lot of movement.
Yeah.
But it's so cool that you guys in the chat have noticed these things that maybe, like, we haven't picked
yep.
up on. Whoever said that they were tricked or mm-hmm. set up to fire against each other,
okay.
that's my vote. I think that's just, like, the theme of everything. Earth and, you know, Mars thinking
yeah.
that, like, you know what I mean? And that it happened yep. in the previous episodes. I think this is the same kind of thing.
All right. And one more. Dennis says the UN soldiers were fleeing and shooting backward.
Yeah. So
AJ agrees with you. It was Mao who set up the UN Martian alien attack. Okay.
I like it.
We can go with
always
that.
Always blame Mao.
And then another thing, which, good point, which it helps a little bit. Thanks, Pamela. It would be helpful to the people to know that this episode is acting as a bridge 18 months or so between the books. This is true. This is kind of a gap from when some of this stuff happens. I was about to say something. I'm like, I'm not getting ahead of myself. Okay. So, based on that, I think they were running away.
The UN
people
running
are running away and shooting
okay.
back at something. Okay, I'll go based on the facts of what you see.
Yeah.
They were running away from something. They were shooting backwards. And the bodies we see on the ground have slice marks on their bodies, which does not look like the debris from the sky yet. That stuff was about to be falling because Bobby looks up at it. So I don't think it's fallen yet the way
okay.
they show it. And then Bobby does look up at it. So this is different in the books. In the books, there's some other stuff that happens, which I think I'll have to mention it next week because it kind of reveals what
right,
happened
right.
here. But in the books, Bobby doesn't see that thing up close. She sees it at a distance. And it's recorded on her bodysuit, which that'd be cool if we have that later. Debris falls and blasts her backwards.
Okay.
So she does not get attacked by the thing the way the end shows it.
Okay.
So We'll finish up and then we'll get to, I was like, meh. Oh, two other things and then we'll get into predictions because we're like at the end here. Real quick, we have the Aaron Wright and Vassarala chat and they're talking about Vassarala's quote, and man, the writers of this so interesting with political times. Public servants are always looking for some fat private sectors to pay them off down the line.
Yep.
Down the road. And then how she threatens him, which, do you think she was threatening... She was threatening Mao, but do you think she... Since she knows Aaron Wright and Mao are working together, do you think that was her way of threatening Aaron Wright as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, I'm going to F you up.
She was great. Like, that's what I'm saying. Her turn was just really just stepping up and being like, dude, this is what I'm going to... Yeah.
But because Aaron Wright hasn't really come out and said... anything other than, you know, he's a good man, you know, which is like, okay, great. I do think that it was kind of like a not so subtle threat because she is the protector that saved Earth.
Right.
In a way.
And the last thing is we have Naomi helping Drummer to disarm the bombs. All right. Predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Now, something with predictions. I do have the question for you. I started to ask you before, but please repeat. What do you think is the thing Bobby saw at the end?
An alien.
And if you guys haven't read the books, no chiming in. Not really. Okay.
I think it's an alien. Okay. But I think it has, or it is some sort of like old humanoid thing that has evolved because of protomolecule, or it's Solomon Epstein. Those are so like in whatever, but that's literally the stuff that's going through my head as I'm watching this.
It's all good.
Because I was like, it could be any of those things. I do think that because I saw them reflecting kind of like in that blue, beautiful blue from the protomolecule, I think there's some sort of evolution of something, but they have protomolecule in them, or they have used it in some way.
Okay. Or to kind of piggyback off of you, and like I was telling Carrie, is deep down, I'm still grieving over Miller. I'm not over Miller yet. So I want to think that, right, maybe like he and Julie evolved. Maybe they evolved into Jiller or something. And that's kind of the new next evolution of what we see.
Right.
Interesting.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Let's go into other predictions because that was just the alien thing.
Yes.
Which we don't know for sure yet.
Okay.
But I do. Sort of. Actually, it's interesting in the books. They kind of introduce and say kind of what it is, but as always, you're from the character's perspective, so it's like, how much do they know?
Yeah.
So, what else do you guys think? What are some other predictions? So, Rick, you can do next episode and overall predictions as well, too, if you have anything where you think this will happen later, or if you want to see something happen, like, I want to see this thing happen later.
Okay, well, maybe overall, maybe not quite next episode.
Sure.
Clearly, we're going to see some sort of aftermath, as you ladies discussed, about Holden and Naomi, like, she doing kind of what she's doing behind the scenes or, like, not disclosing that, which is good for a show because then it means that they're together and now there's some divide and they're not quite together, which always makes for good television.
Yep.
That's kind of like where I'm at right now. Like I said, I'm still grieving over Miller, and that was like last. That wasn't even this episode. That was like the last episode. But I do look forward to seeing what happens with Bobby because like she's kind of stranded, right?
A little bit. She's on Ganymede. The only thing that they haven't really shown you, which this isn't really a spoiler because they show you later, Ganymede is a full functioning place. So even though she's on top. Kind of stranded, she can go and go inside of it. It's like they have the way Eros is, it's Ganymede's a similar kind of idea.
Okay.
Yeah. And then a quick thing, in case you guys were confused in the chat room or adding, so thanks guys, this is a good one. What do you think were the glass pieces falling? Because some people were like, what was that material? Because it obviously wasn't just two ships falling apart.
Well, I mean, again, this is going to be way out there. I thought that actually it was, there's like either a satellite or some sort of communication. I thought it was like a satellite that was being broken.
Like maybe the...
I thought that they were attacking that satellite thing, which is obviously a communication device, maybe, you know, to block off their communication and not allow them to get any word out or anything. Mm. So that's what I thought it was.
I thought it was the ships.
Okay.
I also thought it was part of the ships, but...
Those things are huge, and so, like, they're going to drop, you know, and, like, come into gravity.
Yeah.
They could burn up in gravity a little bit, too, but they were just so big.
Yeah. I thought it was something closer to the planet, not quite so much out of atmosphere, that they were essentially domes on the planet. But I think what it was is they're reflectors for the sun to help down on the planet, which mm-hmm. that makes more sense thinking it that way. El Trishgig in the chat said they were reflectors. Ganymede is a breadbasket of the belt, so it's getting blown to bits was much bigger than Deimos getting broken up. So they're essentially like solar panels.
Cool.
I think in the book they just call them mirrors. So it's helping because they grow. That's like a growth planet, and we'll get to it later, but you guys can kind of know. Ganymede is like the most super fertile planet of is until they were like, oh no, which this is a preview for next time, so it's not really spoiler. Something happens, but they grow plants. It was where people go to have babies because it's like safe and like healthy
organic.
Place.
Organic, it's very organic.
Yeah, it's like the hippie nice planet to go to of like we're gonna start a family. So, this is gonna spell some disaster. There's other stuff, but sorry, continue if any other thoughts you have, Maria.
No, I mean, it's, you know, obviously I think that Naomi and Holden are gonna see some rough waters very soon, but I don't think that that'll be the only person who has it out with Naomi. It's definitely I think that, like, you know, I don't know. I mean, I would, anyone could get mad, anyone could get upset about the situation. Definitely Amos, maybe Amos is going to feel like personally betrayed. They're very, very close. Anybody on the Rocinante, I think that's going to definitely create some tension. And then overall, I mean, I just want to keep seeing a Vassarala be awesome. And I do want to what I do want to see, and I think will happen, is that Aaron Wright, even though Vassarala kind of knows, I think that Aaron Wright will be fully exposed. And that's going to be a shit right, show.
Towards
the end. I mean, Jules Mao is gonna get his coming. However, I think Aaron Wright is gonna see the downfall first. And it's gonna be great.
Just to clarify, I wasn't saying Ganymede was a planet. It's like Eros, where
it's like a station,
a rock,
right?
A moon thing. Yeah. Well, it's not, like, completely artificial. I think it's like Eros, where it was, like, a moon.
Right.
But they built inside of it, too. But it's big. Any other predictions, Rick?
That's it. I mean, you know, the one thing as you were talking, I was just thinking about it. You know, Mao was talking about how he had other kids. So I'm trying to figure out, I was like, would they actually maybe show up at some point?
Well, that could be interesting.
You know?
Oh, I would like to see that. Maybe some sort of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something else of their family. Good point.
Because now the sister's, like, dead or she's gone. So, like, don't you think siblings would show up and be like, yo,
where's... Yo, dad.
Yeah.
What?
Where'd my sister go? She died or...
Yeah. Do you think? What do you think about Venus? Do we think we'll see more about Venus?
Yes,
absolutely.
Not right away. Yes.
You can't just throw literally a bomb onto the surface and then never hear about it again. So we're gonna
a bomb full of protomolecules.
Then I mean,
especially since
and
Kirby.
Julie and
it's literally
Miller,
we could go down a black hole trying to predict what the protomolecule is gonna do. But that doesn't necessarily guarantee that the protomolecule is gone or destroyed or anything like that.
And especially since Aturbi's trying to get there. Why is he trying to get there?
All right, cool. Any other thoughts on the episode?
No, it's just awesome. We can't wait for more.
Great ending, just like the episode before.
Oh yeah, I think it just keeps getting better and better, and it's just so engaging. It's just like, oh my goodness, what's gonna happen next?
Yeah, and we're only at mid-season.
It's not even
towards like the three-quarter mark. It's only mid-season, and they're already building really well.
All right, cool. Why don't you let people know where to find you online? We'll go start this way and come around.
Cool. Maria Cavasudo. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Maria Cavasudo.
And you can find me on all social media at Rick Hong.
And my name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. Thank you so much for watching. Make sure to give the video a thumbs up. Leave comments down below on your theories as well. And if you've read the books, no spoilers. Try to be like me. If like, no, I want to tell you. but don't tell. No spoilers. And make sure 5 stars on iTunes and subscribe to AfterBuzz so you can be up to date on all these awesome shows. All right. And we'll see you guys next week. Thanks for watching. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.